CBS News, I'm Tom Foti. The mastermind of 9/11, America's most wanted by far, is dead.
Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda.
President Obama, in a very unusual Sunday night statement at the White House a short time ago, saying justice has been done in a ground operation in Pakistan, where bin Laden's location was finally pinpointed.
Today, at my direction, the United States launched a targeted operation against that compound in Abbottabad, Pakistan. A small team of Americans carried out the operation with extraordinary courage and capability.
This, of course, brings back memories of that early September day, just a little less than a decade ago.
We are now looking at flames shooting out of the north side of number one World Trade Center.
When Beth Weinstein's fireman brother was killed.
The moment I heard, I began crying. There was this sense of relief and elation.
Tonight, outside the White House.
Yeah!
After 10 years, he's dead, and that's a great thing. Like, it's a great thing for America and the rest of the world.
What is the meaning of the successful search for Osama bin Laden?
This is probably the most significant moment in the war on terror.
CBS News Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent Lara Logan.
There is no question in people who are familiar with how this kind of thing is done that human intelligence played an absolutely vital role. And that is absolutely huge because that's the one thing that everybody said we're not very good at. That's the one thing that people say, oh, the CIA doesn't have any good sources. You know, even the Defense Department, the military intelligence, they don't have any good sources on the ground. This seems to indicate that that is not the case.
Nick Young now taking a look back on the man this country hunted for a decade and finally found.
Osama bin Laden did not have the background normally associated with terrorists.
He was the son of one of the wealthiest families in the world.
That bin Laden walked away from a life of leisure to fight for Islam was among the reasons poor Muslims loved him, says CBS News Afghanistan expert Jerry Van Dyke. Additionally,
there is a longing throughout the Muslim world to go back to the time when Muhammad created what was then seen as a perfect society. Osama bin Laden preached this type of goal.
Then came 9/11, followed by other terrorists who caused blood to flow around the world. Bin Laden began to lose popular support as it became clear.
With all the people that Al-Qaeda killed, they certainly did not practice what they preached.
Nick Young, CBS News.
There are no active threats detected, but the FBI is preparing a bulletin to law enforcement agencies in response to the killing of Osama bin Laden. And we learn that former President George W. Bush has offered his congratulations to President Obama. This is CBS News.
And let's talk about that a little bit. This is Hartley Carnes in New York, joined by Colonel Jeff McCausland and by Major Mike Lyons, both former Army and both CBS News military analysts. The last thing that we heard right then was that the FBI is preparing a bulletin to law enforcement agencies in response to the killing of Osama bin Laden, that no active threats have been detected, but of course there's an abundance of caution out there. I would imagine there's a lot more than that, than just an abundance of caution. Let's start with you, Colonel McCausland. What do you think, and what is the FBI up to right now?
Well, I'm certain they're right now, they're monitoring the terrorist networks and the listening out there to hear if we hear that kind of discussion and the picking up of more and more, if you will, background talk that might indicate some kind of an operation being planned. I'm sure there's increased security at all U.S. military installations in the United States and abroad, as well as federal installations, because certainly there might be a revenge attack. And we've seen a number of the attacks lately really are self-appointed individual terrorists, like the Times Square bomber or some of the attacks on some of the recruiting stations in Arkansas and elsewhere. Those are the kind of attacks I think we might be worried about in the immediate aftermath. Some individual's effort to do a revenge attack, a spectacular type attack, particularly against the U.S. military, in response to this very welcome news about the death of Osama bin Laden.
Okay, Major Lyons, it's not just, of course, the FBI, but local police and military police. are ratcheting things up at U.S. military bases all around the world.
Yeah, so this is a first responder type operation that'll take place tomorrow. I mean, individuals that have put in these plans together since 9/11 now will be looking at them closely, hopefully not dusting them off, but hopefully just implementing some of the things to make sure that their increased readiness, they're leaning much more forward in the foxhole. I know from a cyber perspective, for example, we've built up this cybersecurity network that's allowed us greater access to how terrorists are communicating. They communicate more through forums and not necessarily through Twitter and those kinds of devices. So, you'll see a much greater emphasis and focus and eavesdropping in those places and into those kind of chat rooms right now to make sure. But you combine both the cyber threat that's out there and the first responders, you'll see everybody much more focused tomorrow morning.
Senator John McCain, of course, Republican from Arizona, released a statement, and I'll read it to you. It says, "I'm overjoyed that we finally got the world's top terrorist. The world is a better and more just place now that Osama bin Laden is no longer in it. I hope the families of the victims of the September 11th attacks will sleep easier tonight and every night hence, knowing that justice has been done." Echoing, of course, the president's statement there. He said, "I commend the president and his team, as well as our men and women in uniform and our intelligence professionals, for this superb achievement. But while we take heart in the news that Osama bin Laden is dead, we must be mindful that al-Qaeda and its terrorist allies are still lethal and determined enemies, and we must remain vigilant to defeat them." Pamela Falk, our CBS News foreign affairs analyst, is here. Truer words haven't been spoken anytime recently, have they?
No, absolutely. And we heard a very similar statement by the chairperson, Eliana Ross-Lehtinen, of the Foreign Affairs Committee of the House, saying that those violent extremists who seek to do our nation harm, we struggle with the enemies of freedom, and that continues. And that's really the issue here. Part of what the international community is now going to look to do is try to bring some ability to bring together all of the restrictions on terrorist finance. And that's, I think, where the UN is going to go, because Pakistan has been at the lead of trying to coordinate intelligence agencies with, of course, the United States at the helm.
Cammie McCormick is, I think, still with us. Cammie, you're there, right?
Yes.
As national defense correspondent, and one of the things that that you look at is this whole homeland security apparatus that's out there. They've got to be swinging into action in an important way, expecting, not thinking it might happen, but expecting that there will be attacks on American interests in a number of places, perhaps.
Yeah, and we're hearing that U.S. diplomatic posts around the world are on high alert, and the FBI, we are expecting something from shortly. But we are hearing that there's nothing to suggest a plot is in the works, but obviously the U.S. is preparing for that. And the president was very careful in his speech to say that the U.S. is not in a war against Islam. This was perhaps sort of an offensive by the president to sort of subdue anything that might be coming. We just heard yesterday from the Taliban and Afghanistan that it was beginning its spring offensive. So already we're seeing signs of a ratcheting up of what may be attacks against U.S. forces in Afghanistan. We may see other actions elsewhere. And we also need to keep our eye on what's happening in Yemen. That is obviously a key fight against al-Qaeda there. And even though you may have taken out the top man being Osama bin Laden, the sort of figurehead of al-Qaeda, there is still a lot of work to be done by the U.S. in regards to sort of taking off the head of the snake, as so many administration officials and others have called it, in dealing with al-Qaeda and the terror attacks and so forth and the various attacks that they may be planning.
CBS News Chief White House Correspondent Chip Reed is joining us now. Chip, mighty, mighty big night.
It is a very big night. I hesitate to use words like elation because obviously the White House understands that this is the beginning really of a next phase, but certainly there is a sense of satisfaction. that they have accomplished one of the chief aims of the entire mission in this post 9/11 world, which is to capture or kill Osama bin Laden. And certainly there had been times when some administration officials had expressed some concern with the idea of capturing him, because that would turn the situation into something that would be ongoing, perhaps a trial, and that was something they certainly didn't want to deal with. So this is the way they wanted to see it end. I thought the most interesting thing here was that this is a mission, a specific mission, that has been going on since last August, when the president said they first got a possible lead on Osama bin Laden's location. He met repeatedly with his national security team on it, and it was just last week when he finally authorized an operation with a small team of U.S. military, a small U.S. military team, a very targeted operation on a specific location. They went to Abbottabad in Pakistan, engaged in a firefight today, and killed Osama bin Laden and took custody of his body. So certainly a day to remember in the war against terror, and it is something that former President George W. Bush and then President Obama talked about repeatedly, the need to capture or kill Osama bin Laden, and it has now been accomplished.
Chip, do we have anything yet there at the White House about, and I know this is maybe a little bit from left field, about what the government may do with the body? It's important that we have it, because it's proof.
That's right.
But on the other hand, you know, Islam says bury him the next day, and we're
right,
already
right.
late for that. I mean, that's not going to happen.
We do not know yet what the plans are, and certainly that is something that could stir up more agitation in various places around the world, what happens there. But, you know, there have been questions all along through this. You know, isn't it dangerous to kill somebody like Osama bin Laden? Don't you run the risk of creating even more chaos as people treat him as a martyr? But the position of this administration and the former administration has been that you don't back off in the war on terror, and certainly on somebody against Osama bin Laden, because you're worried about retaliation.
No, I would argue that
you go and you do it. You do what you've got to do.
Vastly more dangerous alive than dead.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
Mike Lyons is here with us. What do you think? There was any doubt about this, was
it? No, there really wasn't. And Holly, let's try to get your head around the 10 years it's taken to do this, and think about, like, the last mission that we got from a president on a 10-year journey like this has been President Kennedy, when he said, let's go to the moon before the end of the decade. That was about 10 years. And so we think about it. Maybe it took 10 years to build the system, build the infrastructure, change the military, change the way we think and go to war. In order to get to this moment, and the literally the 1 million things on the task list in order to get to this spot, and the blood that's been shed and the treasure that's been spent to do this, and that's what I'm trying to get my head around right now, in terms of just the magnitude of now the network that's been built in order to have this event happen, similar to what it took to put man on the moon in 1969.
We have Chip for another couple of minutes, and I want to go back to something that you said, Chip, and that we want to keep, or that at least the people at the White House want to keep sort of a measured reaction to this. They don't want to show elation, and yet outside the White House there are hundreds of people who are chanting.
Yeah, in fact, Jeff Goldman, CBS producer, was out there, and he says the number is more like 2,500 people out there. They're chanting USA, USA. They're doing that old football chant of na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, hey-hey, goodbye, and they're also singing the Star Spangled Banner. So if this is any indication of what's going on around the nation, there is a sense of elation over this, even 10 years later. I want to follow up on what you were talking about a minute ago. One thing that amazes me about this is that it took so long. Now, certainly, we look back in retrospect, and obviously it was extraordinarily difficult, because he had this ring of people, these concentric rings of people around him, protecting him, who had no interest in turning him in and had every interest in keeping him safe. But I went to Afghanistan not long after 9/11, and I remember them telling me, take a sleeping bag that's good for 0-degree temperatures, because you're going to be up in the Tora Bora Mountains, where the U.S. military expects to capture Osama bin Laden. Well, it didn't happen then, and he escaped, and it's been a long haul since then. And this mission, this particular mission, has been they've been looking into this. The initial lead came about 8 or 9 weeks ago, and so it really has been something they've been focused on, and it is amazing how the government can keep a secret when it's this important to keep
one. Well, it is proof that I guess they can actually do that.
Exactly.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is that, you know, we a lot of people in New York, and I mean, we've been here such a long time, know that if you shoot a cop, the cops are going to get you, and they're going to do it pretty doggone quick.
Right.
I mean, usually within hours, a day or two, it's over.
They will never give up.
And so we sit around going, well, if the cops can do that in New York, Chicago, L.A., Atlanta, wherever it may be, why in the world can this whole country not find Osama bin Laden in 10 years' time? And the answer is he had a heck of an organization.
Yeah, he really did. I mean, the people on the ground, again, these concentric circles who surrounded him and were loyal to him, and it is going to be fascinating to find out how this finally broke. But I think the president certainly gave a big clue when he said that cooperation with Pakistan helped lead us to bin Laden. So I think at some point, finally, somebody at a high level in Pakistan said, enough already. Let's just go do the job.
All right. Chip Reed, White House correspondent, our chief White House correspondent for CBS News. Thank you for being with us so very, very much. Pamela Falk, you look like you are on the edge of your seat there.
Yes, there was a lot of talk at the UN during the past 5 and 6 years that there was not only a large organization of Al-Qaeda, but a lot of protectors. And that was part of the embarrassment at the United Nations. Why isn't someone turning him in? Someone must have seen him. And that was what the Pakistani UN ambassador addressed when he spoke with UN with CBS last year. And he said, you know, we agree. Someone knows where he is. And he had that conversation with Secretary of State Clinton. So I think the bottom line is there was obviously much more cooperation with U.S. intelligence and with the White House by Pakistani authorities and Pakistani intelligence, which has been much maligned for having elements in it that might have been hiding him, Osama bin Laden, that is. And they clearly opened up to the White House to enable the White House to get this mission done.
Now, the mission is kind of where I want to take it next with Colonel McCausland and with Major Lyons. And to toot the horn for these two guys who won't toot it for themselves just for a moment, these are War College guys. These are strategic thinkers. So let me start, because he outranks you, Major, with Colonel McCausland. What does it take to put a mission like this together, and what kind of steps happen along the way for this to come to a successful conclusion over the weeks that it has taken since it began to get hot?
Well, this takes an awful lot of preparation, because you want to make sure you've got that actionable intelligence that you can move forward rapidly. And, of course, that, as we said, has, I think, bespeaks close cooperation between the U.S. military special operations forces and elements, at least, of the Pakistani military and intelligence. You know, some have said, why not take him out with a drone attack? But, you know, the drone attack is not going to be surgical, higher possibility of collateral damage to kill civilians, and inconclusive, because you don't really know at the end of the day in that pile of rubble who is actually in there without actually going in and finding out. Sending in the special operations people, more surgical, less chance for collateral damage, but a high risk. What happens if it goes bad? And we've seen those things happen before, such as the Iranian hostage rescue operation, where people were killed on the ground or perhaps somebody being captured. But you are much more conclusive about knowing what was going to happen and doing it in a very, very precise fashion. Obviously, the forces that did this, I think, have probably been training for this particular mission for probably weeks and months, based on what the president said that we had knowledge back in August, doing rehearsals to ensure that this was coordinated down to the finest detail when it, in fact, was executed.
Yeah, I couldn't add more to that other than to say, you know, picking the right guys and the right crew was probably very important, similar to what happened in, again, 69 when we launched the missions to the moon, and the teamwork that it took place in order for this mission to be executed at the level it was. And I think that you have to really understand the 1,000 things that are on the task list, and also the failing, the planning to, if there's failure, what do they do if something goes wrong, and all of the little courses of action that could have went in the other direction. But it looks like this went off perfectly.
You know, one of the things that, I mean, I remember not that long ago, and it's been, as in 2 or 3 years ago, we got close we had a special forces team that thought they were 100 yards away, and they couldn't get the green light to go because they weren't quite sure. What's it like? You just got the green light. You've got your team of special forces people elbow to elbow with you. What are they feeling?
You know, what they're doing is they're just relying on their training at that point in time. They've practiced, they've rehearsed it, they've visualized it in their mind, and at that point in time, really everything in their training just takes over. Once they're given the green light to go, they've literally rehearsed it as a ballet would be, as a dance would be, as a scripted play, and I think that, you know, again, that's likely what happened in this scenario.
We've been told by the president that this happened at in a town called Abbottabad, a city that is situated in the Oresh Valley, 150 kilometers north of Islamabad and about 200 kilometers east of Peshawar. We are going to take a break in just a moment. When we come back, we're going to be talking briefly with Terry McGovern, who lost her mother, Anne, on September 11th. Her mother was a vice president of the Aon Corporation, and she was in the second tower on the 92nd floor. Stay with us for that. Don't go away. And we'll be back after this recap.